Hello, and welcome to the broadcast for the 6th of December 2020, where we are looking at parables that Jesus taught us. This recording is for children in the way who are in year 7 and older. So before we go any further, let's play our little game and let's see whether you can guess what I am thinking of. For 5 points, this is something that you can wear to keep warm. For 4 points, it comes in different sizes. For 3 points, sometimes you can wear it for decoration and not to keep warm. For 2 points, you can get different types of material that make it, like knitted material or cotton or leather, so lots of different materials really. And for 1 point, you can get different types on for your hands called fingerless, or you can have them with fingers. So what do you think I was thinking of? If you said gloves, then you are correct. Well done. So today we are talking about the parable of the prodigal son, which is found in Luke chapter 15. Excuse me. So Jesus told a lot of parables while he was here on earth, and they were all stories that had a hidden or a secret meaning. And if people really took the time to think about them, they would get the meaning that that Jesus meant for them to get. And that's what we are doing. We're looking at different parables to try and understand, to have a deeper meaning, to look for the deeper meaning and try and understand how they can, what they could mean for our lives today. Excuse me. So this parable Jesus told to explain why he ate with sinners, why he associated with them, because the Pharisees would come and say that Jesus wasn't a good man because he kept associating with sinners. He kept sitting and eating with them. He would go to their houses. He would have dinner with them and things like that. And the Pharisees, they thought they were in the right, and because they followed the laws and they were very careful to do that, and they looked down on ordinary people. They looked down on people that they considered to be sinners, and they insisted that they be treated differently because of their position in the church as Pharisees. So Jesus was really answering why he ate with sinners, and he used the story of the prodigal son. So let's read what the Bible says. This story can be found in Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. Have you found it yet? If you have your Bibles with you, Luke chapter 15 from verse 11. Jesus told them another story. Once a man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Give me my share of the property." So the father divided his property between his two sons. Not long after that, the younger son packed up everything he owned and left for a foreign country, where he wasted all his money in wild living. He had spent everything when a bad famine spread throughout that whole land. Soon he had nothing to eat. He went to work for a man in that country, and the man sent him out to take care of his pigs. He would have been glad to eat what the pigs were eating, but no one gave him a thing. Finally, he came to his senses and said, "My father's workers have plenty to eat, and here I am starving to death. I will go to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son.' treat me like one of your workers. The younger son got up and started back to his father. But when he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt sorry for him. He ran to his son and hugged and kissed him. The son said, Father, I have sinned against God in heaven and against you. I am no longer good enough to be called your son. But his father said to the servants, Hurry and bring the best clothes and put them on him. Give him a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. Get the best calf and prepare it so we can eat and celebrate. This son of mine was dead, but has now come back to life. He was lost and has now been found. And they began to celebrate. The older son had been out in the field, but when he came near the house, he heard the music and dancing. So he called one of the servants over and asked, What's going on here? The servant answered, Your brother has come home safe and sound, and your father ordered us to kill the best calf. The older brother got so angry that he would not even go into the house. His father came out and begged him to go in. But he said to his father, For years I have worked for you like a slave and has always obeyed you, but you have never even given me a little goat so that I could give a dinner for my friends. This other son of yours wasted your money on prostitutes, and now that he has come home, you ordered the best calf to be killed for a feast. The father answered, My son, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we should be glad and celebrate. Your brother was dead, but he is now alive. He was lost and has now been found. So in the story, there's something that we are not told. We're not told why this younger son wanted to leave, what he wasn't happy about. Maybe he was just unhappy because of teenage tantrums. I do not know. Maybe he felt that he was too good to work in the field. Or maybe he was lazy. Or maybe he felt he was being compared to his big brother all the time. Maybe his brother was doing things better than him. Or maybe he argued with his dad. There's so many reasons why he might have wanted to leave home, but we're not told what that is. So sometimes we are not happy about something and we make a decision that is very rash. And we have to be careful what we do when we have those high emotions, when we feel angry or we feel we're not happy about something. We have to be careful how we handle things. And this son really, really takes it to the limit. He tells his father he wants the money that he will get when his father dies. It is like he is wishing his father was dead. He says, Give me now the money that I will get when you die. He is wishing his father was dead. And not just in the Middle Eastern culture when the story was told, but even in our culture, that would be so rude to say, I can't wait for you to die. I want what I will get now. And this father, because they didn't have banks at that time, he would have had to sell his land and then divide that money between the two boys. He would have had to sell property, because that's where his wealth came from his land, his cattle, his sheep, any animals that he had. He would have had to sell half of those just to be able to give this boy the money that he was demanding. So the father would have been humiliated before the community, because everybody would have been like, why are you doing this? Why are you letting this silly, rude boy tell you what to do? And even in the community, the father might have lost face. He might have been embarrassed. But he chooses to show his love to this child who is obviously not very mature and not very clever about things. He could have punished his son. He could have grown angry. But he realizes that if he did any of those things, they would have driven an even bigger wedge between him and his son. And all he wants to do is to reconcile with this boy. All he can hope for is that this child will see sense on his own and come back. So he doesn't do anything that will push him away. The father chooses to go through the pain and shame and humiliation himself rather than letting this boy down. And I mean, it's not going to work, is it? It's not going to work at all. This son is too immature. He doesn't know what to do with all this money. Once he has all this money, he immediately runs away. He immediately goes away. Once the father has sold all the property and all of that and gives this boy the money that he demands, the son should have used that money to look after the family. He should have used that money to make sure there was enough food for the servants and all of this, but he doesn't do any of that. He's not ready to take on any responsibility. And he goes away to have a good time. And he goes to this foreign country and he wastes all the money in wild living, in going to having parties for these fast friends. And he's made these fast friends that are not good friends. They're not friends that you can rely on when you're in trouble. He's made friends that only look to him for a good time, and they only look to him, and they're only interested in him when he has money. So once that money runs out, because he doesn't have any way of generating more money, his friends disappear, and he can't even rely on any one of them. So we have to be careful who we associate with. We have to have friends that we can depend on. So he finally goes and finds himself a job with a man of that country. And the man tells him to go and take care of the pigs. Now, pigs are one of the animals that in Jewish culture were considered to be unclean. And looking after them was the lowliest job you could do. It was really, really bad because pigs were considered to be dirty. So anybody looking after them would get dirty. They were given scraps of food to eat. So it wasn't very, very, very good job at all. And this son had no choice. But he needs food. He needs to eat something. And he thinks, my father, in my father's house, the servants eat very well. So his desire to go back to see his father is not because he feels bad. It's not because he realizes that what he did before was very bad and very rude to his dad. He just wants to get some food in his stomach. And that's his purpose for preparing this lovely little speech where he wants to get what he wants. He wants to manipulate his dad again. He doesn't say he's sorry. He doesn't apologize for his past behavior. He doesn't say he's realized he's made a mistake and that he's really sorry. He says, I realize I have sinned against God and against you, but don't call me your son anymore. Treat me like one of your workers. And he gets up and he goes to his father's house. But his father has been waiting and looking out every day for his son. He's been very eager to get his child back. So while he is a long way away, he does something that is not considered proper behavior for a man of his age. He lifts up his tunic, which is a one-piece sort of dress thing that he would have been wearing, he lifts that up so that he can free his legs, and he runs towards his son. For a man who had property and calves and cattle and all of that, and who was over 40, it was not a dignified thing to do. He should have been sending his servants out to do running or any fast walking or anything like that. But he doesn't care. He brings himself down to a lowly level, and he has seen his son, and that's the most important thing to him. He runs towards his child. He puts his arms around him and he hugs him and he kisses him. He shows him tangible love. And he is showing that he is eager, that he was looking out for his son, because the Bible says that while the son was still a long way away, the father was looking for him and he was looking out for him. And he is not angry. The son doesn't have anything to worry or to fear, because the father only has joy, and he shows visible signs of costly love. When the son says his speech, the father doesn't listen to that. The son is left realizing that the father doesn't care about anything he's saying or anything he's done in the past. He just is so happy to have his son back. So the father restores the son by giving him shoes, because only the rich people used to have shoes, and they would have nice shoes. Servants might not wear shoes, but sons wore shoes. He goes and gets the best clothes for him. He doesn't care about his dusty and his smelly and anything else. He just wants him covered. He covers up any shame that the son might have had from all of the things that he's done in the past. And he gives him a ring, a signet ring of authority, so that when the son goes anywhere and he needs to pay for something, he puts his father's signet ring to show that he belongs to that family. And he can afford to live. He can afford to hold his head high and to walk down the high street, because now he's got a way of paying for things. The father pours his love on his son, and this makes the son's heart turn towards his father, and he repents. He simply accepts that he has been found and that his father loves him. And that's one of the things that we have to do. If we do something wrong, even at the first time that we come to God to give our lives to him, we have to accept God's love without condition. We have to accept that he loves us just the way we are, that he's ready to put in all the effort of covering up our sin, giving us fresh clothes, taking away all of the hurt and all of the pain, and celebrating our return into his fold. And here, God joyfully takes responsibility to find and to restore us back into the family. And we are accepted without any judgment at all. And this is how Jesus was behaving towards people that were considered to be sinners and outcasts. He was accepting them back into the family without any question. Now, there is this older brother, and the older brother represents the Pharisees. The older brother comes and he sees that the fatted calf has been killed. He is not happy, because he is like, this boy has wasted all of this money, and now we are celebrating him with a party. He won't even go into the party. Even if I was holding a party, I would expect my children to come and help with the party, and they would come and make the guests feel important and welcomed. And, you know, they would be doing stuff around to make the party be a success. But this older brother will not even go into the party. He shows disrespect for his father by not going into the party, not celebrating with this news about his younger brother. And when he asks the servant, and he hears that they've killed the fatted calf, the best calf has been given to celebrate his younger brother, he is angry. And this again is where we have to be careful what we do with those high emotions. He is so angry that he shows a lot of disrespect for his father by not going into the party and helping out. So this older brother, then the father has to do something uncharacteristic. He has to leave the party to go and find his older son to say, what is going on with you? I'm having to leave the guests to come and sort out this mess. Why are you being so stubborn? Why are you not coming to celebrate with us? And he says that he is angry because he doesn't, he says to his father that, I've lost it, where in the Bible? He says to his father, you've never given me even a little goat to have dinner with my friends. And now this son of yours who wasted your money is back, and now you've killed the best calf for the feast. So the son is concerned about what he can see. He says, I've been here all this time and you've never given me anything. But what this older brother doesn't realize is that when the father divided the property and the land and the cattle and everything between himself and his younger brother, everything that was left at the farm, everything that the father then had, did not belong to the father anymore. It belonged to this older brother, because the younger brother had taken his own inheritance. So everything that was left belonged to the older brother. So if he wanted to have a party with his friends, he could have just taken the goat. He could have taken the fatted calf. He could have taken the best of everything, because it all belonged to him. This is similar to us not realizing the power that Jesus gives us when we become children of God, that we do not have to suffer and be sad even one more day. We do not have to lack anything, because everything that God has belongs to us. Everything that he has is our inheritance when we come under the covering of the blood of Jesus Christ. So this son complains and he says, you've never given me anything. You haven't. So everything that the father and the son have been together all this time, and he has never said he was not happy. It's only now that his brother has come and has started using up some of the resources that he is angry. And the father sees that and he says, no, this is not a good attitude to have. We should be rejoicing. This is time to rejoice and be happy, because your brother, it is like he was dead and now he's alive again. He was lost and now he has been found. But this older brother is bitter. Just like the Pharisees were standing in judgment of Jesus, saying, you should not accept these people back into the fold. They are bad. They are weak. They do not follow all the laws like we do. And there is a loss of comparison with the Pharisees. Like, we are so good. We are doing the right thing. And all these other people are not doing the right thing. So we have to be really careful and look at ourselves and try to work out which character we represent. Are we the younger son who is impatient and immature and throws a tantrum and says, I want my stuff now? He doesn't think about his father's feelings. He doesn't think about his father's reputation. He doesn't think about anything except what he wants. Or are we like the older brother who cannot accept that good things could happen to other people and we should celebrate them? He doesn't realize that his brother, who had been lost, is now found, and now it's time to celebrate that. He is more concerned about what he doesn't have and what he has not been getting from his father. So we have to be careful with our high emotions. We have to be careful how we respond to other people having good things. We should be able to celebrate with them, even if the things they are getting is what we wanted to get. We should be able to celebrate with them. So I hope that God blesses you and that God helps you to think about these things more, because Jesus didn't really finish this story and conclude it in any way. He left us a little bit hanging. We don't know whether the older brother went in with the father to celebrate and to enjoy the party. We don't know any of that. And he does that on purpose to make us think more about the story and think how it would end and how we would end and which character we would be. And that's what he wanted to do with the Pharisees, to leave them thinking about this and talking about it and debating it, just like he did all about his other parables, so that they could try and understand the meaning that Jesus had for this parable. So I hope that you do think about it and that you do learn from it and that you think about which son you would be, the younger, immature one who is very rash and he does things without thinking them through, or are you the older brother who is not ready to forgive people when they have repenting and coming back into the fold? So even in church, sometimes we might see someone that we know from another time, or somebody that we know has done something wrong. We should be prepared to understand that they are now being forgiven. They are now back in the fold and they are our brothers and sisters, and we should show them that love. So do stay blessed. Next week, which is the 13th of December, I will not be doing a recording because it's the children's service, children's nativity service. And I hope a lot of you have been getting involved in preparing videos and all sorts of things and songs to celebrate all that God is doing and to celebrate what Christmas is all about. So there won't be a recording on here, but you will be able to access everything on through the church website or through Facebook. So God bless you and do take care. Bye.